This episode is different than the previous ones you've listened to. This episode marks the end of season one. But don't worry, I'll have a season two coming up. I just want to thank everybody who's listened to it so far. Any sort of support, any sort of spreading the word, telling a friend about it. I'm really surprised at the response I've gotten. I haven't done any sort of advertising or outreach, and it's really kind of grown organically. I was checking the iTunes analytics numbers, and I'm just blown away by how many people are listening to it already. So I want to thank everyone. I started this out as a side project, and, you know, I wanted to, well, first let me back up. I produce crime documentaries for a living. I've worked with National Geographic, Viceland, A&E, the BBC, Netflix, many, many different networks. And I specialize in crime. And this project allows me to dig really deep into stories with former criminals. And I'm able to have an open and honest conversation. And what people hear, they can interpret it the way they want to interpret it, take it how they want to take it. But what's interesting to me about this project is that I think it speaks to bigger issues. Each story is a microcosm in itself, but it raises other questions about poverty in the U.S. and around the world. It speaks to the drug war. It speaks to the prison industrial complex, mental health, so many things. And I think that it's important to talk about these things. And when we get into individual stories, we can kind of see where they come from and how their narratives evolved from the beginning, middle, and end. And I'm not cutting for time and just sort of freestyling it. I'm just having an open conversation. So that's what I like about this, and that's why I started this project. I'm not trying to glorify anything or judge anyone. But what I am trying to do is humanize individuals, because I think that things are never really black and white, and there's always more than one truth. So for the first episode, I spoke with Brad Huron. He's a guy who grew up out in the rural areas of Texas and Oklahoma, and he fell into meth addiction, and he became a meth cook and was subsequently burned severely. The type of burns that most people could never imagine. If they got those types of burns, they'd say, kill me. And at one point in his life, he did want to kill himself. But I was just amazed at his perseverance. It was a tale of survival, pure survival, and the willingness to live and go on, no matter what, no matter what happens. You can still make a good life for yourself. The second episode was very interesting. It was with David Victorson. And I had met David at an event that I helped orchestrate. It was for the book, The Misfit Economy. I came on as a marketing director. So I was in charge of guerrilla marketing for the book. You know, getting the word out in different creative means and methods. And I had met David, and the book centered on how the black market is very similar to the legitimate market in many ways. And the book highlights the parallels between those two worlds. And, you know, it talks about the innovation, the spirit of creativity and salesmanship and entrepreneurship within the black market, and how similar it is in the legitimate market, and it investigates the methods and the practices and the ingenuity. So that was what that book was about. And David really does sort of highlight that spirit. He is, in his purest form, an entrepreneur. And his background is marked by extreme poverty and that drive to get out of it and that fear of falling back into poverty. The third episode was with Larry Levine. Larry was a efficiency expert for organized crime. And some of the things that I picked up from his interview was he was always bucking the system. He always had a disdain for authority. He was always trying to get one over, even at an early age, even in school. He was changing his own grades. And he's a problem solver. He is someone who can figure out how to manipulate the system for himself. And he is a shadowy character. When you listen to him, you can really see that he's always trying to pick up a read on an individual. He's actively controlling the conversation. He's always trying to probe the individual who's asking questions to him. And you can tell that he used that efficiently, you know, throughout his life. I've gotten a lot of comments about that episode with Larry. People gravitate towards that particular interview, I've noticed. People think Larry's a character. They love him. And he is. He is a charismatic individual. He will crack you up. And he's now a prison consultant. So he's teaching people how to survive in prison and take advantage of the system in there and taking advantage of programs and turning a negative into a positive. The fourth episode was with Freeway Rick Ross. And not Rick Ross the rapper, Freeway Rick Ross. He's really historical in the drug game. He rose to the top from dealer to distributor of cocaine. And he got caught up in an infamous scandal known as the Iran-Contra scandal, which really sowed distrust with the American government. It's one of many different landmarks in our history that really exposed what was going on within the system. It's with the Freeway episode, what sticks out in my mind and something I can't get over is his best plug, where he got the purest coke in huge quantities. This guy was moving metric tons worth of cocaine. The cheapest keys. He was buying the cheapest kilos from this particular individual. Danilo Blandon was the guy's name. He was working for the CIA. And the CIA knew what he was doing. They knew that he was moving this weight. And this was Rick's best plug. Think about that. The fifth episode was with Seth Ferrante. And he was a suburban kid who fell into the drug game. And he was given 25 years for selling psychedelics and weed to multiple colleges. 25 years. While in prison, he realized that he had to do something positive and educate himself. And so he started writing, and he built a successful career from inside the walls, writing about prison life. And subsequently has gotten out and continued as a writer, and has done really well for himself. The sixth episode was with Jim Tom. That was a fun one. He is 76 years old, and he used to make moonshine. And he's sort of a legend in the Appalachian Mountains. He used to hang with people like Popcorn Sutton, who is one of the modern-day grandfathers of moonshine. And, it's one that, you know, obviously he comes from a very, very, very poverty-stricken background. And he's living in this sort of frivolous underground market, selling liquor and making a living out of it and having to avoid the law. Meanwhile, politicians and police officers and well-to-do people in the town are all consuming his liquor. Prohibition 2.0. He's a modern-day bootlegger, last of a dying breed. The seventh and final episode was with Dan DeFilippi. And he really embodies the black hat cyberpunk culture of the 90s. He was at the cusp of the digital boom, the internet boom of the late 90s, early 2000s. He started out making fake IDs. He became extremely proficient in phishing scams, email phishing scams. And then he moved on to creating fake credit cards, cloning information, taking people's identity. And he could have really, really taken it to another level, but he always wanted to stay below the radar. He was eventually caught for credit card fraud, and he faced 8 years in prison. And they gave him the option of 8 years in prison or working for the U.S. Secret Service. He chose the latter, started working for the Secret Service, and he devoted his time to helping agents identify individuals who were within that world, within the fraudster world, and also teach the agents the new methods and techniques that they were using within the credit card world. So that's it for season one. I want to thank everyone again for listening. And reach out to me. Let me know who you'd like to hear next. What type of guests you'd like me to interview. If you've got a suggestion for someone you know who would be interesting to talk to, I want to hear it. If you're interested in collaborating with me on a film project, TV project, podcasting, I'd love to hear your ideas. Let me know how I can improve the podcast. And make sure you stay tuned. You can follow me at Burner P Podcasts on Twitter. Or just check in with the website, burnerphonepodcast.com. And if you're already subscribed on iTunes, once season 2 hits, it'll pop right up on your podcast. So I'll be there.